To invite you this morning over to the Gospel of John chapter 2 verse 11. The Gospel of John chapter 2 verse 11. The Gospel of John chapter 2 verse 11 reads this way. It says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne. Lord, we ask you, as the Lord of the harvest, again, Lord, that you would send forth more laborers into your fields. Lord, that you would do a work that only you can do, that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we thank you that you are pleased to do that through your children, through your church. We ask that you bless the service this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be again exalted and highly lifted up in our hearts and minds. And Lord, that you would empower your people to be the witness and the testimony that you've called us to be. Again, bless and we'll praise you. Again, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Manifestation of God's Glory. The Manifestation of God's Glory. Now, here's the truth. God will be glorified even if we don't care to be part of that. God will be glorified when it's all over with. God has spoken everything into existence, and everybody will confess. There are people on planet Earth that believe they will have nothing to do with the God of the Bible, but they're going to realize that everything they are has everything to do with the God of the Word of God, with the God of the Scriptures. And we thank the Lord for that, because we know Him on this side of eternity. And I'm sorry, and we will be sorry, and we'll understand that God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there will be a reckoning day that will bring sorrow into the hearts and minds of God's people, because no doubt we'll see people that we have known or been related to, but also to the heart of God more than us. God will also, I think, be sorry, because He's not willing that any should perish, but He is a holy and a righteous God, and that's what oftentimes is forgotten. But God says, hey, listen, to the child of God, be careful that you don't fall asleep at the wheel. Amen? Be careful that you don't get caught up in this world and forget about the one to come. Some years ago, many years ago, I was listening to this fellow who was at a university. I don't even know which one, but a foreign exchange student came from another country, and he observed the American culture, and he said, you know, Americans fear only one thing. That was his conclusion. A foreigner came and watched and said, Americans fear only one thing, and that is inconvenience. Inconvenience. We don't like to be inconvenienced. If we're inconvenienced, my goodness, what a horrible day. And yet we forget about people in other countries that don't have half of what we enjoy today. Not even half. Do you know there are people still today that have no electricity and no indoor plumbing? There are places in the world today that people live in and they're foraging and scrounging around just for a daily portion of food to sustain their existence. Isn't that amazing that in the world today that exists? And so a lot of times I think we're spoiled. Amen? We're spoiled and we forget what God has given to us physically, but may we not forget what God has given to us spiritually. Listen, to enjoy. And so we're looking at an account here of God's manifestation of His glory. And I want you to notice an important result of the glory of God here in verse 11, where it says, and His disciples believed on Him. God was honored and glorified by what had just taken place, and the glory of God brought faith and belief to God's people. And so that's an experience that God wants us to have. But unfortunately, I think today, as we focus on this account of a wedding, it was an ordinary wedding, was it not? But the presence of God was there, and in that celebration, they brought God involved to be involved with that, and that ordinary wedding celebration became an extraordinary experience, importantly, not only by everybody to one degree or another, but more importantly, to the people of God, it brought faith. And so God wants to do the same thing today. He wants to take ordinary events and make them extraordinary as we invite Him and call Him to participate in our everyday, daily events that we experience on this side of eternity. Some might say, well, listen, Jesus was there. That's what made it extraordinary. And that's the truth. Jesus is also in His church today, is He not? His very presence is right here, is what the Bible tells us. But many believers can attend a church service and find it to be nothing more than just an ordinary church service. We can cross the T's, dot the I's, and say, nah, meh. Well, that reveals something, doesn't it? We've missed the Lord. All we saw was maybe the special that was sung. All we saw was maybe a preacher preaching a word, the word of God, with an outline.
But we missed the Lord, didn't we? And that's not what God wants for us. Listen, when we gather together as his church, the Bible tells us that he's in our midst. And that we ought to seek him to speak to us and to give us what we need. But sometimes, listen, we're so caught up in what we want to do with our plans that we have our hands filled up with too many things to come empty-handed before the Lord to be the recipient of the things that God wants to give to us. And sometimes, listen, in the hearts and minds of God's people, what God wants to give his people, we're not even in tune with. I mean, we're so preoccupied and filled up with our plans that we forget that God wants to give the believer something that brings life, glory to God, and faith in our hearts and minds. So I want to take notice of some important factors here that are at work in this account of what the disciples were experiencing and what the people that were involved in this wedding were experiencing, because they correlate really with what God is wanting to do in your life and mine. And there are some important factors that were involved in this particular account that we're going to see are also involved in our lives. So let me just name a couple of them. The first important factor is that Jesus has to be there. Amen? Not only that, but we need to know that he's available to us. So the Lord has to be in our daily events if we're going to experience him, and we have to know that he's available to us. Secondly, we need to understand that God wants to glorify himself in and through our lives, but we need God's power. We cannot do that in our own power. And then thirdly, we have to have a trusting faith in the power of God alone. In the power of God alone. A lot of times we think, well, yeah, this is what I'm doing for God. This is what I'm doing for God. Well, if you're doing something for God, then you might be missing what he wants to do for you. We can get busy doing things for God. Let's just get busy doing things for God, and we can get caught up in a ritualistic practice that we're not hearing from God and allowing him to guide us into his paths. Look, if I'm busy doing this and doing that, can I be receptive to God's direction? But I'm busy. Bless God, let's just do something. No matter what it is, let's just do something. Right? And then we miss what God is trying to do. I think there are churches today that are trying to do things for God that may not be hearing God. Listen, I believe with good intentions. We want to honor and glorify the Lord. And sometimes with self-intents as well. And they'll miss the Lord. And by the way, I'm talking about saved children of God. Not just people that profess to know the Lord, but people that do know the Lord that are probably, in a lot of cases, missing the Lord. Well, here's the truth. God does not want us to miss him. God wants us to experience him. So let's look at the first two verses in the Gospel of John chapter 2. And I want you to see that Jesus has to be there and that we need to know that he's available to us. So look at verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. That's a good thing. And then notice this, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That's another good thing. So listen, Mary was there, and then the Lord was called. Did you see that? He was called to that marriage. Let me ask you this. You wake up in the morning, and you've got a lot of things to take care of. But do you forget to call upon the Lord? Do you forget? Maybe we don't need him. Listen, life's just okay. We don't need the Lord. We can just go ahead and we're saved. And that's all I need, right? That's all I need to have with the Lord. I'm saved, and you know what? I've got eternal life, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. What will it be like in that day when we look to the Lord, when we see the Lord face to face and eye to eye, and experience the great sacrifice that he made in your behalf and mine? Will we truly be able to rejoice by leaving God behind and going forward in our own way and our own thoughts and the way we think? I thought, remember, that's what Naaman said, I thought the prophet would have come out to me. He began to think about how the Lord ought to save him or recover him of his leprosy. And God said, nope. You know what's really required in us, in order for us to experience God? Humility. To be humble. What does it mean to be humble? To realize how much we need God. To realize how much we need God. One day, every person in this room will leave this world. Sometimes sooner than we think. I don't say that lightly. Sometimes sooner than we think. But is it not possible to get so busy that we forget to realize the brevity and frailty of life? We just think life's going to go on. None of us, and I don't think there's something that we should do, but none of us put on the calendar or on the schedule, this day I might not live. This day might be the appointment that was appointed unto me to live and then to die. When you look at a tombstone, you see the birth and you see the death. And you've heard it said before, that dash, that's life, is very brief and very short. And so God would have us to consider our ways, because one day this life will end. And what are we caught up in? Do you know the devil wants to distract your life and mine? And by the way, our nature wants to do the very same thing. Just look to ourselves. The world. Listen, the devil's on that same plan as well. You be God. Isn't that what he said to Eve? You'll be God. You just be the God of your life. And when she bought into that lie, she ruined it, didn't she? She destroyed it. And so will we. And so I want you to see that the Lord was invited. He was called to this wedding, to this marriage. And God ought to be called on a daily basis into our lives. And then secondly, I want you to notice that we have a need, really, that God wants to provide for that will glorify the Lord that we cannot provide for in our own power. God has created us with a need for the Lord. And by the way, listen, there are those that may be defiant concerning God. I don't want anything to do with God. Well, listen, a key indicator will be of their great need of God is those people that say, I don't want anything to do with God. Are they happy? Do you see them with a smile on their face? Do you see them with contentment, or do you find them to be most miserable? No joy, no happiness. They have an animosity and an attitude of disgust towards life. That's not the way God created us. But that is the devil's plan, to destroy the lives of mankind, because we are made in the image of God. And God made us for himself to enjoy him. That is listen, if you want to know what the will of God is in your life and your purpose, it is to honor and glorify him. If you put anything else in front of that, you will miss God. You and I have been created to glorify God. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, the Word of God is the first place. And secondly, prayer. And then believe it or not, God has created the church to honor and glorify him. So if we neglect any one of those three things, we will miss out on the opportunity to glorify the Lord. Your presence, where two or three are gathered together in his name, and that is really the local New Testament church, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that he gave his blood for the church. That he gave his life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 talks about that he's talking about the church. He died for individual sinners, but he died to prepare a body and a spouse for his honor and glory. So these things are important. And what happens is we get to thinking, well, I don't think church is all that important. I don't think the Word of God is that important today. I'm too busy today. I'm too busy. Listen, you and I who are here for a brief moment, we don't have enough time for God. We're too busy to stop and pray. We're too busy to put him first, and we'll allow other things, listen, that are temporal and passing away. Think of everything you can put in front of God, and in 50 to 100 years, what will it matter? What will it really do? Those things, they just have to be done. Well, then we reveal in our own lives what's priority in life. This is the truth. God says, listen, to his people, awake, O thou that sleepest. We've fallen asleep. And God is saying, listen, you need to be diligent and you need to be a watchful servant of the Lord, or the Lord will come upon you when you don't expect it. Didn't he say that to the servants? You can't be, listen, he gave us an illustration of the virgins, the 10 virgins. 5 were found faithful. They had oil in their lamp. The other 5 said, hey, listen, the bridegroom comes, give us of your oil. And they said, oh, not so, lest we don't have enough oil for us. You cannot live on the salvation of other people. Listen, God provides oil for you and for you alone, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that we take this relationship with the Lord to be very important. Or what will happen is we won't be able to glorify the Lord and we'll have little to no influence on the lives of others. If the Lord and his church and his word and prayer are not important enough for us to seek on a daily basis, what will the world see? And so notice this, we find here in verses 3 and 4, God wants to glorify himself in and through your life and mine. Notice, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. There was a need, and she did not try to figure out, who can I contact that can bring me some wine? She went right to the Lord. Now, did the Lord have a vineyard? No. Did the Lord have storehouse of wine? No. So why is she going to the Lord? Because she knows something that a lot of believers miss out on, and that he is the solver of all of our problems. We ought to go to him first, even if we think we have the answer in our back pocket. We ought to go to him first. And so Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, when the Lord went to that wedding, did the Lord know that Mary was going to approach him? Absolutely. Do you think Mary expected the Lord to do something for her? You know why we don't approach the Lord? I wonder if it's because we don't expect him to do much for us. Oh, we don't listen. You know, I've got to do this myself. If I don't do this, nobody will. That was not her approach. And so she understood that God wanted to glorify himself in her need. And by the way, it wasn't personally her need, was it? It was on the behalf of somebody else. She was invited and she knew that this was not a good thing, but she knew this, that the Lord would answer her request. Listen, when David approached the Lord, he knew that he was going to answer what David needed. Listen, Joseph's confidence was in the Lord. Daniel, and remember when Nebuchadnezzar got this vision, he didn't understand what it was, and he's getting ready to wipe them all out. All the wise counselors and all the magicians and all the soothsayers, he wanted them all dead. And so the knock comes on his door. Come on, you guys have an appointment to keep. What's that? Your execution. Wait, what for? And then they said, listen, he said, give us some time and we'll petition the Lord. Do you think Daniel was approaching the Lord to just waste his time? No. Did God give Daniel an answer? He absolutely did. He gave Daniel an answer, and Nebuchadnezzar was trying to make big of Daniel, but he said, no, it's the God of heaven that's the revealer of dreams. Joseph said the very same thing. So Mary here is coming in what you and I might consider to be a trivial matter if we were just a guest. But she had a concern here. And so she approaches the Lord. And I believe because of her relationship with the Lord. Did Mary have a relationship with the Lord? Did she find favor in God's sight as a young woman, as a young girl? God had seen fit to say, I will receive honor and glory through you. When God looks at our lives, are our lives filled up with all the things of this world that he says, I'd like to, but you're too busy. I'd like to, but you've put other things in front of me. And God is watching. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or right towards him. Amen. If we're not seeing a lot of God's work in our lives, maybe we ought to consider where our hearts are at. I mean, listen, if we want to do business with the Lord, or is he just something that we do by routine? Or have we become religious? You know, it's just what we do. It's just what we are. I was born this way. No, I hope you were born again. Amen. Amen. And have the new birth. And have been saved by the grace of God, because that's the motivating factor. That's the one that changes everything. Remember, we sung even the thief at the cross. Though, listen, we're just as vile as he is. He said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Do you think he appreciated that? Do you think he was praising the Lord for that? There was a peculiar sense of joy through that pain. He was on the cross. But there was something taking place in his heart that nobody could see but him and the Lord. God wants to make sure that there's something taking place in your heart and mine between us and God. And so Mary has this thing going on with the Lord that the world doesn't even see. So notice here we find that there needs to be a trusting faith in the power of God alone. Now listen, figure this out. She comes to the Lord and she states the problem. Take note of this prayer. Oh, God of all the earth. And there's nothing wrong with this, but we blah, 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 blah. Sometimes we pray just to blah, blah, blah. And listens to what she says right here. She comes unto the Lord and she says, they have no wine. That's it. And then the Lord says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Do you know, listen, that you can interrupt God and he takes notice of it? In fact, he wants you to interrupt him. And it's not an interruption at all. And then notice what she says. Now listen, if you and I were there, maybe we'd say, he just said, what do I have to do with you? Mine hour's not yet come. Okay, I guess that's no. Right? Well, look at verse 5. That she didn't take no for an answer. His mother saith unto the servants. What is that? It's faith. I know what he said, but I know what he'll do. She didn't take no for an answer. Boy, I guess God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want to do that in our lives. God doesn't want to. And all the things that are pertaining to faith and what he's promised to do are all things that he says yea to. But where's our faith? And so she says, his mother saith to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Was that an expecting heart? She was moved by knowing God's great faithfulness. Now, there was a relationship that she had that told her in her heart that to keep knocking and to move by faith. So I can just say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I'm going to fail the Lord today because I'm weak. Well, that's true for everybody. But we can also say, I'm getting up off the chair today, I'm getting up out of bed today, and I'm going to walk in the confidence that God said he would overthrow everything in my life. I may not feel that way, but I'm going to walk that in such a way that God is going to overthrow the things that defeat me. Because I'm not looking to myself anymore. I'm looking to him and his promises. And I'm going to walk in that. And so that is an expression of our faith or trust in what God has said. And so I'm going to walk in that, and God's going to say, wow, they're trusting me. You remember when the Lord said, when it talks about the Lord marveling at their faith? God's impressed when we trust him. You know why? Because God knows what it's like to walk on planet Earth and to go through and to be tried in every way that you and I have been tried in. And so he knows it's something different to step outside of how we feel and what we think and to experience God and to trust God. And so she says, whatever he saith unto you, do it. And notice this here in verse 6, we find a sanctification is an important factor, see? These are vessels that were completely empty of anything that would rob God of his glory. These were vessels also that were set apart or sanctified for the use of the Lord. You and I are vessels for the honor and glory of the Lord. But if our vessels are filled up with things already that God can't fill, then we've made no room for the Lord. And so our vessels must be set apart for God's use and sanctified by his grace that he can fulfill his will in your life and mine. And that is to glorify himself. So notice verse 6 here. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purification of the Jews. They were set apart for a specific use. And your life and mine must be set apart for God's use. And so they just happened to be there. No, listen, again, God knew everything he needed to know about this wedding feast in eternity past. He knew they were going to run out of wine, and he knew there was going to be Mary there that would say, I need you, God. And I'm expecting you to do something. So God made provision. God has already seen, now I don't understand this, but God has already seen everything that will ever take place in your life and mine. You and I still have a choice to make. God being God, outside of time, outside of creation, he knows all those things. You and I can still make a choice. And God has interwoven his will in your life and mine, just like he did in Mary's life. God already knew Mary was going to ask him about the wine. God saw to it, and he already also knew that she was going to go to these servants, did he not? And tell them that whatever he says for you to do. How did she know that? She had a working relationship with the Lord. She came to the place in her life where she was not going to lean to her own understanding. That'll get us in trouble all the time. I thought, this is what he ought to have done. This is the way, see, I think it would have been better for God not to bring COVID or to allow COVID, however you want to look at it. I think it would be better for God to make the sun shine every day and bring no rain. Oh, just the rain that I think he should bring. Right? What are we doing? We're bringing God down to our level. I think God ought to give me this kind of a Monday every Monday. And what we forget to realize, it's the trials and difficulties of life that ought to be driving us to the Lord. If they did not run out of wine, there would have been no opportunity or purpose for Mary to approach the Lord. But because there was a problem, and God had seen already through history, his story, what Mary was going to do, that she had a heart for the Lord, and she was purposed to ask God for help. That he saw to it also that those vessels would be available as well. Or was that just coincidence? Is God God? Think about that. Is God really God and works out and has worked out most things or all things? He's worked them all out. Nothing catches God off guard. And yet sometimes we're blown away by that. By what comes into our life, we think, oh my goodness. But God knows that too. And does not throw us away, but never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's there waiting for you and I to say, I need you, Lord. I need you. And so in this particular case, here are these water pots of stone that were set apart for purification. This is sanctified vessels that contain two or three firkins, and a firkins is about 9 gallons. So that's a lot of fluid there. Jesus saith unto them, imagine that. Imagine that. You think the Lord heard Mary say, whatever he says to you, make sure you do it. Did Jesus see her faith? What is Jesus seeing in your life and mine? Do we just live in the natural and we don't ask God for anything supernatural? So God is moving at Mary's request because of her faith. If God is not moving in your life and mine, it's probably because we're not walking by faith. Because we're just doing and functioning in life by what we understand and not trying or proving God's great faithfulness or grace. And so, Jesus saith unto them, because of Mary's faith, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Now, do you think that people know when we're walking with God? Did Potiphar put everything into Joseph's hands because he knew because of the Lord's blessing in his life that he was prospering? Did Potiphar know that? Did Nebuchadnezzar make Daniel the supreme governor because of what he was experiencing? What he was seeing? Do you think these servants in the wedding feast there, do you think they saw Mary as somebody who had a reputation of faith? Yeah. And so, listen, we inspire by the grace and the Spirit of God as we walk faithfully with the Lord, God uses us to encourage and build the faith of others. So she says, as if Daniel could have said it, as if David could have said it, as if Joseph could have said it. Remember when he was before Pharaoh and he interpreted the dream of the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of prosperity and how they needed to reserve for the 7 years of famine and the years of prosperity? Did Pharaoh counsel with anybody else, or did he say, you're the man, Joseph? What moved Pharaoh to put Joseph in place? God. Because he had a faithful servant. And likewise also moved Mary, and they knew her faithfulness to the Lord, and they said, do it. Things happen in this lady's life. Do it. So they fill them up with water to the brim. Isn't that amazing? So the Lord, when we consider this, needs willing servants to trust him when it goes against nature, but more importantly, when it goes against our nature. Do you think that any of that made sense to those people? They're going to put water in there? They'd never seen anything like this. You and I have never seen other than the account in the scriptures. And they were. Do you think they were doing something that the world would say, that is crazy? Do you know that stops believers today because we're afraid of what the world thinks? They can't even see our God. How about you and I? Can we see him? Have we seen him in salvation? Have we seen him in his great faithfulness at different times? Have you not seen him and said, that's the Lord? And so the Lord needs willing servants to trust him when it goes against not just nature, but even our thinking. And so notice what happens here in verse 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. They drew it out. They probably seen it already. It was a different color. Right? Water has no color. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, see, that's supernatural, and knew not whence it was, but the servants, listen, He didn't know where it came from, but the servants did. The world doesn't know where it comes from, but may God's people know. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. We have an undeniable testimony now. And that's the last thought that we're going to look at. These are important factors. We have to know that the Lord's there and that He's available to us. We have to understand that God wants to glorify Himself in and through our lives. We have to be able to trust by faith in God's power, not ours. We have to realize the importance of being sanctified vessels for His honor and glory. And we have to be willing servants to walk in the paths or the direction of God that is in contrast to the way of this world. And all that brings an undeniable testimony. And notice this, what happens here. And saith in verse 10 unto him. Remember, he calls the bridegroom, the governor of the feast, calls the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good until now. Wait a minute. Have you stopped to think about this? This bridegroom has no clue. This bridegroom is saying, yeah, that was my plan too. In fact, I didn't even know if I had any worse left. What you had at the first was all I had. Where'd the other stuff come from? Where'd the other stuff come from? From the Lord? Because this man didn't have anything else. And that must be our approach to the Lord. Lord, I don't have anything else. I need you. So he calls him and he says, I don't understand this. He says, every man at the beginning sets forth the good wine. Then when men have well drunk, they can't tell the difference, that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good until now. Maybe, possibly, the bridegroom thought, oh, I knew we were going to run out of wine. I don't know what in the world. All we had maybe was a place to get some water. Am I going to get chewed out because they're drinking water now? And then all of a sudden, what this bridegroom understood was there was an intervention that was made. And I want you to understand verse 11. This beginning of miracles, Jesus and Cana of Galilee. This beginning of miracles is when God's people are humbled before the Lord and realize what a great need we have in our own lives to see God's intervention on our behalf. Do you know everything the Lord has called us to do, He knew we could not do without Him? Why do we keep trying to do that? We'll miss God every time. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Did you see that? God manifested forth His glory through this obedience, this faithful obedience of what God had called them to do. And what did that bring? Belief on the behalf of His disciples. God wants you and I to have that kind of faith. This is the manifestation of God's glory. Wait a minute, listen. Today, where? Where? In your life and mine. God wants to manifest His glory. I don't understand that. Are any of us worthy? No. Does God know that? Yep. Has God chosen to glorify Himself in your life and mine? That's your purpose for being. That God might glorify Himself in your life and mine. But if we're too busy for God, God is such a gracious gentleman, He'll step back and say, call me when you want me. Call me when you need me. Call me when you need me. But as long as we don't need the Lord and don't want Him to glorify Himself, as you look at your life and as I look at my life, we ought to be saying, because God's purpose, you'll read it in the Scripture, He saved us for His honor and glory. Is your life is my life honoring and glorifying the Lord? If there are short failings, if there's shortfalls there, then that's the opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm bringing you this mess. It's empty. I can't do anything with it. You do it, Lord. And watch what he'll do. Give God the opportunity. Bring him, present yourselves a living sacrifice, willing to die to the will of God. He doesn't want us to physically die. Listen, he wants to live through us. If we'll just ask him and trust him in that. That's faith, trusting in the Lord. God, you do your work for your honor and glory. And we're blessed. Amen. Lives are changed. Testimonies are given to you and I to get excited about, if we'll have it. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great grace, your great mercy, your great faithfulness, Lord, to us. We're undeserving. I pray that you would help us to understand that. I pray, Lord, that you would create in our hearts a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness in our lives as you've promised to give us. I pray that you would bless the invitation as only you can, that you would call us, Lord, and that we would answer. We know you're already calling. Your word tells us, for whosoever will come, you would not cast them out. I don't think the problem is in your calling, it's in our answering your call. Bless the invitation. May we seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. May we not lean to our own understanding, but may we acknowledge you. Even though it goes against what we think, may we trust you and seek you. Bless the invitation. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.